Mark 15, please. Mark 15. Mark 15 and verse 40 is where we'll begin, please. All right, before we stand, I want to mention as you open your scripture to that passage that I struggled with two things this morning preaching this. This is a very nice passage. The first thing I struggle with is our church is so weird in one way. And maybe you don't recognize that it's weird. But if you look around this church, you see as many men are more than women. Most churches are filled with women. 75 to 90% is average in a church. So this morning, I'm a little ambivalent on preaching this because we have so many good, godly servants who are men in this church. But because it's about women, I'm going to talk to the ladies this morning. Second problem I had was, what do I call this? I have debated. Do I call this Mary, and Salome? It's like, do they not have another name? There are more Marys at the cross than you can count. I thought about calling it that. I thought about calling it thank you. I have decided to call it, which you won't understand until the end, I guess you had to be there. Let's stand, please. Verse 40 of chapter 15. Something that will not startle you if you have read the Gospels, but will startle you if you have focused on Mark. Women are mentioned. Luke mentions women beginning to end. He seems to focus on women. Mark, this is it. And every gospel has this passage or these truths. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less. How would you like to be called that? You know, you're the less. You know, he's the more, you're the less. I don't know what that means. So it could be that he was smaller, or it actually could mean... Sometimes, you know, remember Robin Hood, Little John was the Big John. You know, I don't know. But she was called Mary, the mother of James the Less and Joseph and Salome. The two most common names in the first century in Israel from archaeology are Mary, Miriam, Maria, same word, and Salome. So these are pretty common names. Verse 41. Who also, when he was in Galilee, remember there's that division between Galilee in the north, Judah in the south where Jerusalem is, and Samaria in the middle. And Jesus spent a lot of his ministry early on, especially in Galilee, though he did travel back and forth. So it says, who also, when he was in Galilee, and it has these two beautiful words, followed him and ministered or served him. And many other women. And you get some of the names, one of them was his mother, which came up with him unto Jerusalem. We're going to skip some verses to the very last verse in this chapter. I'm just going to give you a peek of the next chapter. We're going to talk next week, Lord willing, about Joseph. Not Joseph back there, but Joseph of Arimathea. I don't think Joseph is from Arimathea. Are you from Arimathea, Joseph? I hope not. Verse 47, it says, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where they laid him. Why is that important? Because one of the lies that's been told is they went to the wrong tomb. If they'd have gone to the right tomb, they'd have found the body. Well, there's a problem. The women stood with Jesus to the very end. They saw him crucified. They saw him die. They saw him buried. And next verse. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They're still thinking about that serving. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, Sunday, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, "Well, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. In entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is..." I guess you had to be there. And if you're not there, you miss some things. Let's pray, please. Father, I thank you for this beautiful text. In a church like Lake County, I'm very privileged beyond imagining to have a group of men who are also servants. It's hard to even believe sometimes to watch men in this church in action, but undoubtedly we also have a great group of ladies. And this text is about some women who weren't preachers. They weren't going to be apostles, but they were doing that essential task behind the scene of serving, ministering, serving in ways that maybe men aren't good at. Thank you for them. And may this morning we grasp this whole flow of the story. And may we leave here rejoicing in the good ladies you have given us and rejoicing in the privilege to serve. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I guess you had to be there. Several weeks ago, maybe a month ago, one day I was leaving work, 12:30, 1 o'clock, leaving here, walked out the doors right over there where my car is parked. And as I walked out the door, you know how things hit you, I wasn't thinking about anything, I just walked down, I had a book or two in my hands, walked out the door, and my car has an automatic unlock, so I reached for the door and it unlocked, and lots of things went through my head at the same time. This was a Thursday, I think. It could have been a Friday. As I got to the car, I noticed it was cloudy outside. Has it been cloudy in Waukegan recently? Has it been sunny in the last year? That's what I want to know. It was cloudy that day, like every day for a month. It was kind of even a little foggy, a little heavy. It wasn't too bad of a temperature, but it didn't feel very warm because it was cold and wet. That wetness kind of brought the cold in. As I looked out in the field, there were still little remnants across the way here, across the parking lot of where Dave had plowed the snow that day. Just little remnants were still there. All these things are coming to my brain as I walk to the car. And I looked out into the field by the fence, you know where the John Deere tractor is and the fence going around, and there was one of our members, a man to be exact, on a day off or part of a day off, picking up trash. And I had many thoughts, so I wrote them down so you could hear this is how my mind works. My first thought was, no one told him to do that. No one even asked him to do that. My second thought was, no one's going to notice if he picked up the trash or not. And worse, no one's going to say thanks. You say, "Pastor, did you say thanks?" In my own way. Thanks is a hard word to say to a person who's a servant. So as I got into my car, I can't remember if I said it with the window down or I pulled around, but I pulled over there by the man who was working, and I yelled out and said, "I don't think we're paying you enough to pick up the trash. How much are we paying him?" "Zero." "Are you all moving to serving?" And I saw a man out there. You say, "Who was it?" If you don't know, you're the loser. He's picking up trash on a cold, wet day. And I thought it was kind of fun. It was my way of, you see, how do you say thank you? This is what I say. I don't think we're paying you enough to do that. He smiled, and guess what he did? Went back to picking up trash. Now, my friends, we're going to read a passage that's about something that some of us, small degree, are allergic to. The idea of serving without people noticing is odd for some of us. It's like, what is serving? The only person I serve is, and by the way, your purpose is to serve me. Didn't you know that? This text is a wonderful text. The women who had followed Jesus were here at the end. I said in the beginning of this, many churches have very few men and frankly, it is common to hear pastors say, I don't have anybody qualified to be a deacon. And a deacon means you have qualifications in the Bible and you're a servant. We have many men who are qualified to be deacons and many men who serve. But may I say this morning is going to be about Mary. When you read the Gospel of John, Mary and Salome, we're going to talk about the women who served. Would you read with me again, Mark 15 and verse 40? That was my introduction. By the way, if you don't get serving, I hope by the time it's over, some of the ideas will come into your mind. I'm not going to talk about me because, frankly, I've never picked up the trash here. Well, I mean, I'll pick up the trash if it's right out there by my car. Usually it's somebody brings beer bottles and leaves them in the parking lot. And I always think, now somebody's going to see me carrying those out to that dumpster. And Brian, don't you leave them out there anymore. Mark 15 and verse 40. Would you read with me? I'm just going to talk about, I guess you had to be there, three simple ideas from this text. It says in verse 40, there were women looking on afar off. Now, we don't want to think 2 miles away. Remember, we're not sure where Jesus was crucified, but wherever it was, the Roman army or military would have been surrounding the area. So you couldn't get right next to Jesus very easily or for a very long period of time. So these people were probably a ways away where they could see him, but yet at the same time, not so close where they could touch him or anything like that. They didn't want anybody to interfere. So here we have a group of women that were close by. It goes on to say, and it gives us some names, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph, and Salome. And verse 41 says, who also, not only now in Jerusalem, in Judea, in the south, but when he was in Galilee. It says two things of them here. Number one, they followed him. And secondly, they ministered or served him. It's the word we get deacon from. It's the verb, diakonao. It means to serve. And then it says, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. So there was a group of them. So what do we find in this text? Number one, the women followed when many dared not follow. The women followed when many dared not follow. Maybe you have considered this and maybe you have not. Would you look in your Bibles back to chapter 14? Back to chapter 14? Understand, friends, we're going to use the word follow in two different ways. It sometimes in the Bible means literally to, you know, someone follows you. In this case, it has both meanings. It has the meaning of following, but the more spiritual meaning of becoming his disciple. But this is dangerous times. This group of women followed when many dared not follow. This is a serious time. If you look at verse 43 of chapter 14, immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves or clubs from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. Look here. It's one thing to follow Jesus when you're here. You smile. You sing along. It's another thing to follow Jesus out there. It's a totally different thing to follow Jesus when a 600 Roman army are coming your way with swords, and the temple police with their official clubs, and they surround your little group, it's a totally different thing to keep following Jesus from there. These women followed when others dared not follow. If you look at verse 50, chapter 14, we know for sure what it says. And they all, the men, forsook him and fled. My friend, following Jesus is the beginning of the Christian life. It is what happens at the very beginning. It's what we do at the, we start to follow him. But this is dangerous. This group of women followed when many dared not follow. They were afraid. They were afraid they would get caught up. They would be crucified. By the way, I don't need to tell you the story. Why do you think Peter denied Jesus? Some of it was, it wasn't because he was afraid they were going to make fun of him. He was afraid they were going to kill him. It was dangerous. So what is this thing of following? We're going to look at the Gospel of Mark. So if you look way back to chapter 1, would you look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 18? I think it's important we understand what Christianity is. These women followed when many dared not follow. But it all starts at a point in time. You're walking through life. Someone talks to you, maybe a friend, maybe a relative. Maybe you hear a church, you go to a church. Maybe you see something on TV and you hear something about Christ. And you hear the gospel. And there comes a time when you hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. And you come to Christ. You turn from your sin, you turn to Christ, and you begin to follow him. Mark 1 and verse 18. Mark 1 and verse 18. And this has both meanings. And straightway, or immediately, they forsook, they left, they abandoned their nets and followed him. Chapter 2, verse 14, please. Same book, Mark 2, verse 14. It says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. Levi was in some form a tax collector. And said unto him, Jesus walks up to him, doesn't say believe, though that would be included. He says, follow me. It says, and he arose and followed him. Verse 15, came to pass. By the way, what kind of difference does Jesus make? Look at me. This is the kind of difference Jesus makes. Before you get saved, you go be with your party friends to party. This is your group. After you get saved, you start following Christ. You want your ex-friends to come to hear Jesus because you want them to start following him. That's exactly what happens. Chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat, or was reclining down to eat, this is Latin English, many tax collectors, publicani, and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they, what's that say? Followed him. So when Levi got saved, he not only forsook his bad sinful habits and started following Christ physically and spiritually, he got his friends to come and hear about Christ, and a large group of the tax collectors, kind of the criminal underbelly of the ancient world. They, in one way or another, would work for Rome. Let me just say it this way. How many of you like to pay taxes? How many of you in the state of Illinois know that this state is broke? How many of you think sooner or later we're going to pay more taxes? We're already one of the, I think we are the most taxed state in the 50 states. And we're broke. And the same person in charge of making us broke is still in charge, named Michael Madigan. Nothing's changed. Here's my point. The difference is none of us like to pay taxes, but in the ancient world, Levi was required by Rome to collect X amount of taxes. Let's say $1,000. Anything he collected over the $1,000, went into his pocket. So they looked at a guy like Levi, and you think they liked him. Not only did they not like him, they realized how he got wealthy was... By the way, in Luke, you run across a guy who is the head of the tax collectors, a little guy named... He's not only a tax collector, he's the guy... I mean, they had levels of this stuff. So when Levi gets saved, he forsakes the criminal behavior, starts following Christ, and he invites his friends to follow. You say why? Because, my friend, a believer in Christ doesn't believe and go back to what he did. We're not like a dog that, you know, if they throw up, they... No, that's not what Christians do. Yuck. Mark chapter 8, would you look there, please? This is kind of found throughout the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 8, we'll read a few more verses. I want you to understand, these women followed when many dared not follow. Even some of the men that were strong believers, they were nervous. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. This gives you the whole gospel plan in a nutshell. It says in verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed. Son of Man is a roundabout way of Jesus referring to himself. He says, listen, I'm going to be rejected of those that are in power. I'm going to be killed. And after 3 days, what? Rise again. And he spake that openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. In verse 33 it says, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou you don't have a desire or a taste for the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And then we connect. Everyone look at me. I know what's been taught in America for 100 years. You can get saved, get a get out of hell card, put it in your pocket, and go about your business. There is no Christianity in the Bible like that. In the Bible, yes, you can get saved through Christ. That's the only way. But there is no going back and living in the pig pen and never returning. My friend, Jesus himself says, I'm going to die. In other passages, he says, I'm going to die for your sins. No question. Christ is the way to heaven. But then he lays this home, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him. My friend, if you're still holding on to your what you want to do and what you want to be and your sins, I'm sorry, you're still back in the past life. I don't care how many prayers you prayed. I don't know how many cards you have signed. There isn't two kinds of Christians. You know, one still living in the world and one living for Christ. He says, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, and what's the next phrase? Follow me. My friend, there's one kind of a believer, someone who follows Christ. Yes, sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes the danger is there, the pressure is there, but we follow. He goes on to say in verse 35, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man or a woman if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Hey, everyone look. I'm not going to preach on this long, but I want you to grasp something. There are people that have been around church for a long time, and they're holding on to things. And they feel a pull to follow Christ, to come to Christ and to truly become a believer. But they're holding on. You can't keep holding on. Sooner or later, you must forsake that, leave that, let that go, and follow Christ. There just aren't two kinds of Christians, one doing this and the other one following. There's only one kind. Mark chapter 10. And may I say this, you better be careful when you take Jesus' words lightly. He says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Some people, holding on, thinking somehow Jesus is going to save me in my sin. He saves you from your sin, friends, not in it. There was a rich young man came to Jesus. Do you remember the story? Jesus doesn't tell him, believe and keep living like you're living. I'm sorry, that's a false gospel. Mark 10:21, it says, then Jesus beholding him, one of the sweetest things ever said, loved this young man, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. I think most of you know this verse, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's the only kind there are. The nature of New Testament Christianity is coming to an end of self, coming to an end of sin, coming to an end of, I did it my way. Hello? Have you ever listened to the words of, I did it my way? Actually listen to the words. It is a direct assault on anything of God. It is, I did it my way. By the way, there's His way and there's my way. My way leads one direction, His way leads another. My friend, the very nature of Christianity is coming to an end of self and my sin and my way, turning from my sin, turning to Christ, trusting Christ, and following Him. 41 years almost ago, be 41 years in July, I got in my brand new Volkswagen Rabbit. I was driving from Paris Island, South Carolina, to Southern Illinois, where I grew up. Look at me, it was the first time I had ever been home while living like a Christian. It's a long drive. Back in those days, you couldn't go through the mountains directly. You had to do all those ziggy-zaggy roads. It took forever to get that 2 or 3 hours through the mountains. It took like twice as long. Jenny, you remember, you were at Bob Jones at that time. You couldn't get through the mountains. Oh, it was miserable. I drove up from South Carolina, Paris Island on the coast, drove up all the way through the state of South Carolina, drove through those crazy mountain things, got into North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, finally got into Southern Illinois. In all those hours, I was thinking about one thing. You see, November 23rd, 1975, I decided I wasn't going to play the games with Christianity anymore. I wasn't going to be smoking pot on Friday night, going to church on Sunday. I wasn't going to be getting drunk on Saturday night, going to church. You know, it's either one way or the other. This was my first test. It wasn't a test in the military. For whatever reason, when I decided to follow the Lord in the Navy, most of the guys just left me alone. They thought I was crazy. When I got back home, that whole drive, many hours, I think it took me 19 total. I drove by myself. I stopped for a little bit, drove all the way home. I get home, and the whole time I'm thinking, will I compromise? Will I compromise? Will I compromise? I didn't want to go back to that old life. I didn't want to go back to that old pigsty. May I say this? I never found one good thing back there. Now, you can come to me and tell me about the wonders of drinking and getting drunk, but you're looking at a guy you'll never convince. Listen, the moment I got my head out of that sewer, I never wanted it back. But I was afraid, not that I would deny Christ. I was afraid because I loved certain people that I'd want to compromise. Oh, was I in danger? No. I wasn't in physical danger. I wasn't like these women. These women were in physical danger. I was just in danger of going back. Or maybe not. How about this? Look at me. How about this? I was in danger of being silent. Are you all with me? You see, I didn't think I never wanted to go back there. And I can tell you this. November 23rd, 1975, it's the last time alcohol ever touched these lips. The last time I ever smoked a joint was then. Period. Zero. Nothing. How about you? I don't want to go back there. Now, I'm not nearly as old as Ron. Ron told me, did you tell me? No, it was Walter said he's 19 years older than me. Where's Walter? Walter, that was wrong. Yes, I'm going to be 60 this year. Can I tell you something? There was a time when I thought I would never, ever get past sin like that. Today, I'm like, why would I want to go back there? My brother-in-law killed himself and beheaded himself in a car wreck while drinking. What good comes out of alcohol? Well, I'll tell you what comes out of alcohol. You can live your old life and pull out your once saved, always saved card and think you're going to heaven. Say, you mad at somebody? It's in the text. They followed when others dared not follow. That's this group of women. Well, we're going to look on to the second idea. The second idea moves me in some ways too much. If you look back at Mark chapter 15, would you look there, please? Mark 15 and verse 41, it's already mentioned the Marys and Salome, and now it says there was a whole bunch of women. And it says in this text two things of these ladies. It says, first of all, they followed him. So these women followed when many others dared not follow. Secondly, it says they ministered, I don't like that word because it sounds too religious. It just means they served him. They did the things necessary for Jesus to carry on his ministry. So not only these women followed him when everybody else was running and dared not follow, I think these women served when many would not serve. And they served him from way back in Galilee when he first began his ministry. And many of the women, we don't even know their names. Now, if you'll hold your hand here, we're going to come back here. Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 gives you a little bit of insight into this. Luke chapter 8, would you look there? Pastor Kwok is a little depressed this morning. He had a rough Sunday last week. Not from the preaching, but you know, when you're from Wisconsin, you know, your mind is twisted in certain directions. And, you know, Green Bay packed it in. Now, may I say this? The Bears never got on the field this year, so don't be thinking great things about the Bears. Who are the Bears? But you know what you'll hear? Look at me. You're going to hear this, and I want to correct this morning. You'll hear things like this. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He is. He is exactly as great as his team is. People will say Brady is the greatest quarterback who ever played. I'm going to be mean, and I'm not a football fan. I don't have any dogs in this hunt. I could care less. I think Brady's the best quarterback alive, mainly because I think he's had the best team of anybody and fewer injuries. Do quarterbacks win games? Not if they don't have a team. Some of us don't understand service. Some of us just can't get through our heads that serving, not all of us are going to be Aaron Rodgers. Actually, in this room, none of us will be. We're not going to be, you know, Brady. We're not going to be the big shot. Who cares? Really, it isn't about who's at the top. It's really who's behind serving so the whole team wins. Actually, let me compliment Pastor Kwok because he'll be mad at me for a week. I've talked about Green Bay. Green Bay has a good team, but a bunch of them were hurt. Watch his head. See his head? Now, I don't know if they could have beat Brady anyhow, but may I say this? There are no quarterbacks who win games. There are no pastors who pastor churches alone. There's always a bunch of people serving in the background. Luke chapter 8. It says in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village. Can you imagine? Israel's not a huge country, but you're going into every little backwater that you can find. He went through every city and village, whatever the distinction is. They're all small, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And it says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven, better translated, demons. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna. We don't even hear of these people, but I'm guessing these are the other women in Mark. And many others who did what? They ministered or they served him out of their substance. My friend, the women served when many would not serve. And I thank God for the servants in this room. My goodness, I could entitle this sermon this morning, "Thank You," because there are so many servants in this room. I'm going to name a bunch of different people. The first service, I found out that Linda, your wife is, she was out west, is that correct? At a funeral, correct? And my wife found out that Linda was gone and Ade has to feed the kids alone. And her face went. My wife has nothing to do. She rarely ever works. But when she heard you were not going to have food for your, she was thinking, what is he going to feed those poor kids? So did she cook you something? Cook you two meals, at least two meals. Of course, with Junior, maybe just one meal. I don't know. By the way, why? Because my wife's not perfect. She's married to me, but she is a servant. Did you hear me? There's a thousand of them. There's people in this room that I refuse to ask, almost never ask them to do anything. For two reasons. Number one, they'll always do it. And number two, they'll never say no. Hi, Pachungay. I cannot ask, you know, if I went over and asked Pachungay, I said, Pachungay, I need a new car. She'd figure out some way of getting me a car. It's like you can say, it's okay to say no. Do I ever tell you, it's okay to say no? And do you ever say no? You just did. By the way, there's so many people. It's like, oh my goodness. I was trying to think the different ways people serve. I was teaching Bible class about finding your purpose in life, finding your calling. And I was thinking about Tom and Christy. Brenna could tell you this, Tom and Christy. I was saying, Brenna, you got a bad problem because both of your parents work way, way, way too much. And your mother, I don't think, knows how to turn it off. Do you know this? You got a problem? They're there to fix your problem. May I say this, friend? These women not only followed when others dared not follow, they served when others would not serve. There's something about that. I could just go on and on about different ladies. I'm going to pick on somebody I've never picked on publicly, but I find it humorous, and whatever I find humorous comes out. I was looking at Allison, and I was feeling really sorry for you because you have four boys you have to take care of. Three small and one big, and my guess is the big one's worse than the three. Don't lie now. I know this one's worse than three. And I'm thinking, Amy, it's amazing to me to watch women. They're balancing one kid on their lap. They're telling four of them what to do, and their husband, they've got to tell their husband what to do, and then they get supper. And it's like, how do we do this? I'm going to talk about two things. Everybody in this room has been to that wonderful American restaurant called McDonald's. Now, McDonald's is better than Taco Bell because Taco Bell is neither food nor Mexican. I'm not sure what it is. It tastes something like paper. But when you go to McDonald's, the thing I like the most about, sometimes you'll drive past a McDonald's and years and years, and I'm going to date myself. I'm not as old as Frenchie, but I'm going to date myself. Years and years ago, they would say on the sign, "Millions served." And then it got to where they'd say on the sign, "Millions and millions served." And now you see the signs that say, "Billions served." And I thought, and that's exactly what we're talking about. Your life, look at me, from Frenchie up here to me to everybody else, your life at the end of your life won't be who has served you. It's how many you have served. That's Christianity. The greatest of all is the servant. And here are some women who followed him when others dared not follow, and they served him with the things they had when others just wouldn't do it. I would love, wouldn't you love to see that on your funeral, at your funeral on the tombstone? Billions served. As opposed to, there's a guy, if I would have thought of it earlier enough, I'd have had Christy put his picture up. I love, don't ask why, I'm weird, just accept that. I love Maya history. I have read so many books on Maya history, I couldn't put my arms this wide. Years ago, I came across a man, he is an older gentleman now, I think he's probably 90-ish, if he's still alive. His name is Dr. Michael Coe. Dr. Coe, C-O-E, he taught at one of those chumpy places, Harvard. And first time I came across him, he has a book on the Maya, he has one on Mexico, he has another major tome on breaking the Maya code, he has another one on actually reading Maya writing, he has a bunch of books. And I'm reading one of his books. Now you understand, this is no chump. This is a man that in the 1950s broke open the Maya world to the city of Tikal in Guatemala. He is one of the big, big, big shots. He also did much research, not interesting to you, in what's called the Olmec world, which is probably the oldest civilization in Mexico or Central America. He's kind of the man. And I'm reading his stuff. And by the way, if you go on Wikipedia and look up his name, they'll even say this. I'm reading his whole book and look at me. He never mentions his name. He talks about all these discoveries and all this information. And he doesn't say, well, I did this and I did that and I did this. And if you look on his Wikipedia article, Dr. Michael Coe, I don't remember the exact words. I gave it to Dr. March because it humbled me. Here's a guy that teaches at places you haven't been. Here's a big shot. And he sees himself as two things. A facilitator of other people to accomplish. And I don't think he uses the word servant, but everybody knows if you want somebody, look at me, look up here, to help you up, he's the guy. And I'm thinking, if I died tomorrow, I would like to be able to say, I can't say billions served. I can't say millions, but I would like to a little bit be known for somebody who lifted a few people up, encouraged a few people. I'm not the only one here. Yes, there's lots of them. But I'd like to be one. Wouldn't you rather be that than I'm the person that watched a lot of television and ate a lot of food? Women. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I don't remember when, one of my uncles, my Uncle Dave, didn't know him that well. I wasn't close to him. He was one of my mom's 8 living brothers. He had cancer. He died from the same cancer my father died from, which 2 other uncles died from, asbestosis, working in a steel mill. My Uncle Dave developed cancer, and it really bothered my mother. And I'm like, why does that bother you, Mom? I understand you're losing your brother, and she said, Ralph, my grandmother had 12 children, 11 who lived. Mom was number 2. The first one was Uncle Florin, then Mom, and then Uncle Bug, don't ask, and then Uncle Kook, don't ask. And then the next child was Dave. And by the time Dave came along, which was only 3 or 4 years later, my mother raised Uncle Dave right down the chain. She was their mother. There's never been a time my mother hasn't served somebody. She said, I never had a doll as a child. Dave was my doll. The family calls her Sis because she was the sister that mothered all the children. She mothered us. She took care of my dad for 5 years, doing things you don't want to do. He died at home because of my mother, not because of me, not because of my boneheaded brother, because of my mom was a servant. May I say this? Many women get this. Some men never get it. The rest of us in this room, men, it's time to start getting it. It's time to understand that on your tombstone, it's not going to be written, I'm the man. What you want to know is, was I a servant? We'll close with the last concepts. If you look with me to chapter 15 in verse 40. I have said the title of this is the end of the sermon, really. I guess you had to be there. I have said from the text, they followed him when many dared not follow. They served him when many would not serve him. And lastly, and this is where it gets beautiful, the women saw what many could not see. Because they did not follow and they did not serve, therefore they were not there to see. I guess you had to be there. In verse 40, it says, there were also women looking on afar off. Now, if you look back, I want you to go back to verse 25, the same chapter, because I want you to get the connections. In verse 25 of the same chapter, it says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. So when we skip forward to verse 40, it says, there were also women looking on afar off. These women were still there observing. They saw Jesus die. They saw him crucified, then they saw him die. Chapter 15, verse 47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where they went. What? Have you ever wished you were someplace that you weren't? My friend, there's something beautiful about happening to be at the right place. A special time for me, I think, for this church. Rolando, Army, the two lovely daughters, and that was a special day. I've never had husband and wife and two young ladies get baptized the same day. I've seen men baptized, women baptized, kids baptized. Was that not special? I guess you had to be there, yes? And to think, FBI, your wife is one of the big reasons why they're here, because your wife said, I think you need to check out our church. I guess you had to be here. By the way, friend, most of the people, look at me, never saw when Jesus died. They never saw him on the cross. They never saw him laid in the tomb. And you know what else they didn't see? They didn't see that empty tomb. Why? I guess you had to be there. So those women that followed, those women that served, they also had the privilege. In every gospel, it points to the same women coming. Whether they looked inside or not, it's not the issue. The fact that they were there to see it. I remember when the Berlin Wall came down. If you tell a young person that today, they say, the Berlin who? I wish I would have been there. I think it would have been a wonderful day when World War II was over. What was yesterday? Was it yesterday? Was it yesterday the Challenger was just blew up? I wish that every person in this room could have seen Ronald Reagan speak, not like this president or the previous one, but speak at a time of national crisis. Yes. In a couple of months, I'll show the kids in Bible video of 9/11 because I guess you had to be there. One of my most precious times for me, from 1966 to 1968, I was a kid. I was 68, I was 11. My uncle was in Vietnam on the front lines. That was half of the story. The other half of the story is he just got married before he went to Vietnam. And in Vietnam, his wife wrote him a letter and said, I'm leaving you. So he's being shot at the same time his wife is taken off with another man. This is the funny part. He doesn't even remember it. But everybody my age... We
we remember the gathering we had, 200 or 300 people when he came home. May I say this? You go ahead about your business. You go ahead and think about your lunch and your problems, or maybe you can start following Christ. Maybe you can start serving him. Because I guess you had to be there to see the empty tomb. It wasn't for those who were sleeping with their feet up, eating, resting. It was for that group of women that followed, served, and were there. Oh, it must have been unbelievable. But can you imagine? By the way, what are they coming back for? They're coming back to do some more serving. And when they get there, he's not there. I guess you had to be there. Father, thank you for your word this morning.